Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest this week is Luke Bronin, who just won the Democrat primary, a four-way primary in the 1st Congressional District just this past week. We're going to talk about that and the path forward to the general election on November 3rd. Luke, good to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Morgan. Good to be with you.
So let's start with your initial reaction to Tuesday night, history made in Connecticut's 1st Congressional District.
Well, look, I'm deeply grateful to the voters who came out and made their voices heard. You know, I, as you know, been out there talking with voters all across this 27-town district for many months. And what I've been hearing is the same thing that I've been feeling, which is, you know, people recognize that we're just in a different kind of moment right now, that the stakes are really high, that we've got a president who is doing enormous damage. And people want to see a Democratic Party that's bringing a whole different kind of energy to this fight and is really clear and bold about what we're fighting for. And I think you could feel that energy in the room on Tuesday night, and it's what we've been feeling out there on the trail for a while.
Now, the outcome of this with you winning, I remember some of the talking heads, some of the different polls. It was kind of, to some people, a surprise, to others, not so much of a surprise that you would basically displace a 14-term incumbent in John Larson. Are you surprised with the outcome yourself?
You know, as I said, when I got into this race, I got in not because I was looking at polls, not because I had any predictions about, you know, the outcome, but because I believed that you can't be for democracy and not for competition, and that we would have a stronger Democratic Party if we had more competition, if we had more opportunity to have, you know, a contest of different visions and different voices. And it was important to me that this district have a choice for the first time in a long time. And the result on Tuesday reflected what I'd been feeling out there for a while as I was talking with voters. You know, I really do think that the sentiment that I tried to express throughout the campaign is a widely felt one, which is, you know, I genuinely have enormous respect for Congressman Larson, and I think everybody out there does. And I believe deeply that you don't have to be against somebody to be for something new. But I think this is a moment when we need to get some new voices down there, and that's what the voters felt as well.
And your thoughts also are the other two competitors that you had in the race, and then we'll get back to talking more about the victory itself. But Jillian Gilchrist and Ruth Fortune ran some good campaigns as well. We talk a lot about Congressman Larson, but there were other two competitors too. What are your thoughts on them?
They ran great campaigns, and they've done great work. You know, Jillian Gilchrist has done tremendous work as a state legislator for the last 8 years, and I really admire the work she's done. And Ruth Fortune, you know, I'm grateful for her service on the Hartford Board of Ed, and I think she brought some really powerful messages and powerful perspectives to this race. So I hope they both continue to stay in the work of public service.
Congressman Larson, in his speech on Tuesday night, he never necessarily spelled out what the path forward for him is going to look like, didn't use the word concede itself. He talked about how he plans to make sure he finishes the term. He's not going to stop working for the people of the 1st District in Greater Hartford. Are you expecting him to possibly run as a third-party candidate? That's come up this past week.
Okay, I wouldn't expect that. You know, John is a Democrat. I would imagine that he's going to respect the results of a Democratic primary. But no matter what happens, I'm focused on the same thing, which is just continuing to reach out to voters, Democrats, unaffiliated, and Republicans alike, and make sure they know that I'm going to be fighting for our district. I'm going to be working to try to, in my view, stop the damage of one of the most reckless and dangerous presidents we've ever had, but also to lay out a vision for a Democratic Party that is fighting on those core economic issues that people care about, you know, healthcare, housing that you can actually afford, electricity prices and getting them down instead of seeing them continue to go through the roof year after year. There's just so much work we have to do. So I'm going to be focused on reaching as many voters as possible and getting ready. I hope to be able to do that work on behalf of this district starting in January.
You do have a Republican opponent in Dr. Amy Fogelstrom Chai. How do you view that ballot for November, you and Dr. Chai?
I look forward to a continued debate and discussion of ideas. You know, to me, I don't yet know Dr. Cha. I look forward to getting to know her out on the trail. I respect anybody who is willing to step up and put themselves on the line and do this work. I think there is just a vast gulf between anybody who wants to be a part of helping this Republican majority in Congress continue to just lie down for Donald Trump and someone who is running to make sure that our Congress becomes a check on this president once again and can actually be a counterbalance to this president who is driving up costs and creating instability through reckless wars, who is driving up the cost of everything through reckless tariffs, and who I think is bringing a level of corruption to our country that we have never, ever seen in this country before. To me, there is a pretty clear choice, and I look forward to being out there talking with as many people as possible all the way through November and then beyond.
Luke Bronin, former Hartford mayor, who just won the Democrat primary on Tuesday for the 1st Congressional District, is our guest this week on Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham. Luke, as we continue talking about your campaign and the path to November, what is next for you? Okay, so you've gotten through the primary. It's a major moment for you. What's next in your campaign?
Well, I don't take anything for granted. So I'm going to be working just as hard in this general election over the next few months as I did during the primary. And I try to do that by being out there constantly, you know, in unscripted ways, just having real conversations with voters everywhere I can every day. And I'm going to be doing that, you know, nonstop from now till November and beyond. You know, that is my style, not just during campaign times, but try to be out there, you know, really having real conversations with people all the time, because I think that's part of what leadership is. And then I look forward to getting the opportunity to do the work, to begin building the relationships down in D.C., to begin, you know, being a voice that is saying, you know, we can't just keep doing things the way we've always done them. And I hope that as I do that, you know, I can draw on some experiences, right? I mean, I was part of the Obama administration and, you know, part of the team that helped to create the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that Trump has dismantled. I'd love to be part of the work of building that back. You know, served in our military and served in Afghanistan. I want to be out there making sure the American people understand just how damaging and dangerous this president has been on national security, not just with the war on Iran, but especially with the war in Iran. And then, you know, having served for 8 years as mayor of Hartford, there are, I think, are so many lessons that I hope to bring down there. You know, one is just how important it is for us to tackle this housing crisis. And two is, you know, how important it is that we have a president that's partnering on things like gun violence instead of going backwards like the Trump administration is right now. So there's so much vital work to do, and I'm eager to get to work.
I'd like to talk about the campaign to the primary specifically, and what I think will be part of your campaign going up into November, and that is the team of people that you have supporting you. And anybody who saw or watched your speech on Tuesday night would see that you were surrounded by a bunch of young people. I read an article about college interns who are working with you. Could you talk a little bit about how you found this next generation of political talent, if you will?
Well, you know, one of the things that I said throughout this campaign is that I want to see a Democratic Party that's bringing a whole new energy to this fight. And that didn't just mean the candidate. That didn't mean just the energy that I'm bringing to it. It meant that we as a Democratic Party have to engage those voters, so many of whom have given up on our politics. There's so many young Americans who've lost faith in our politics. And it was really important to me to build a campaign that showed what energy looks like when you really get those Americans engaged. And as you said, you could really see that in the room the other day, but we could feel it in our campaign headquarters and out there on the trail every day for months now. It's one of the things that I'm most proud of in this campaign was the team that we built. And I don't think there's any magic to it. I mean, one, I think younger Americans want to see political leaders who are willing to call things like they see them and who aren't being so cautious and so careful or so complacent. And so part of it was bringing that sense of urgency to the work. And part of it was just taking really seriously the mission of getting young Democrats involved and engaged and getting out there and talking with them and bringing them in and putting them in positions of real responsibility. And I think we sometimes just sort of give a nod to getting young voters or young Democrats involved. We put them in leadership positions. And I think that, you know, they showed why that's important to do.
On the contrary side of things, Congressman Larson's surrounded by perhaps older people and long-term supporters. This was on Tuesday night. Of course, his signature issue has been Social Security. There hasn't been much motion on that whatsoever, but that's his top issue. And people who are listening to this who are of the older demographic, that is an important issue, particularly to them. And they see you surrounded by the next generation, so to speak. What do you have to say to that audience, that demographic, that you're not leaving them behind?
Well, first of all, we built a coalition across all age groups, across all parts of the district. We had a really broad coalition, and I think you saw that in the results. And out there on the trail, I heard as much hunger for change from folks in their 60s, 70s, and 80s as I did from folks in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. I think that people of every age recognize that we're in a different kind of moment where we can't keep doing the same thing. On the issue of Social Security, I've said throughout, and I mean it, I am going to be proud to pick up the mantle and try to be a part of leading that work. We have to protect Social Security. You know, it hasn't, as Congressman Larson so often said, it hasn't been reformed in any meaningful way, hasn't been strengthened or secured for more than half a century. And the trust fund is in jeopardy right now. And the trust fund is projected to run out in 2032, which is going to mean benefit cuts if we don't fix something. So I look forward to being part of the work of making sure that we protect Social Security. And I think it may be helpful to have some younger champions of Social Security helping to do that work, because, you know, there are a lot of younger Americans who just don't believe that Social Security is going to be there for them. And if we're going to be successful in protecting and securing Social Security's future, then I think we need to build a coalition where everybody of every age recognizes that they've got a stake in doing that.
They see that they're paying into it. Do you think that the younger Americans fully understand the benefit of Social Security and why it's important?
Oh, look, I think they understand that it's important. I think they just don't believe that they can count on it. And the reason they don't believe that they can count on it is because there hasn't been any actual, you know, successful work done for decades to secure its future. You know, there's just been, projection after projection showing the trust fund running out without any real sense of urgency or movement. And I want to say, I really do respect Congressman Larson's focus on this. I think he is right that it is a critical issue. The question is, can we actually get something done in the years ahead? And I want to be part of getting something done, because it really, really matters to every American that we do it.
What are some other projects that might be in the works now, or are projects that need to be addressed that impact the 1st Congressional District, whether it's the I-84 Viaduct, projects impacting Pratt & Whitney and its employees? Where else are you looking to kind of take over and take the lead if you were elected in November?
Well, first, let me just say the big economic issues that I've been talking about matter as much or more in this 1st District as anywhere in the country. And those are issues like healthcare, you know, access to real, affordable, accessible, quality healthcare. I think we need universal healthcare. We have one of the worst housing crises in the country here in Connecticut, and the market's really tight in the 1st District. So getting the federal government back in the game of creating housing opportunity matters hugely to our district. And electricity prices. You know, we've seen electricity prices just going up and up and up. And, you know, I talked to so many seniors who can't afford to stay in their homes, partly because of electricity prices going up. So that's another area where I think if we have a federal government that is willing to do what we're able to do, we could bring down costs and do the right thing for the climate and for our kids by making a massive shift to renewables. So those may not be projects in the way you're talking about, but I think those are hugely important priorities for our district. Now, if you're talking about projects that are specific to our district. To me, so much of it is about infrastructure. You know, I think that we saw in Waterbury this year how risky it can be when we allow our infrastructure, including things like stormwater and sewers, to age to the point where it's more than a century old. And, you know, I think it's helpful to have somebody with a mayor's perspective who understands those infrastructure challenges. And then on the transit side, you know, I'm a big supporter of transit, of public transit. I think that there would be no bigger game changer for our area than getting a real high performance rail connection that, you know, allows us finally to take advantage of our geography here instead of being, isolated as we are. And I think it would be a huge economic boost. So those are some of the things.
As far as Pratt & Whitney, also, I know that that's something that Congressman Larson has been very keen on supporting over the years. I'm looking at Electric Boat, and that's in Congressman Joe Courtney's district. They just got a mammoth $77 billion deal from the federal government. They're bringing 8,000 people into Greater New London for more work. They've even expanded their footprint in Greater New London. The old Crystal Mall, for instance, is being transferred and converted into EB space. Is there something like that that you're eyeballing for Pratt & Whitney in Greater Hartford? More money for Pratt, more jobs to the district?
Well, you know, first of all, I mean, I have so much admiration for the way that Joe Courtney has fought for his district and for Connecticut. And that boost to Electric Boat is a boost to the whole state, because so much of Electric Boat's supply chain actually is in central Connecticut. It's all over the state, but there's a lot of it in central Connecticut. But if we're going to allow, if we're going to really be able to capitalize on that opportunity, we need to make sure that those manufacturing companies that are part of that supply chain can be successful. And to me, that comes back to making sure our state is a place where people can afford to live, where they can attract and keep the talent that they need here, where healthcare costs aren't becoming unmanageable for smaller businesses that are part of that supply chain, and where electricity prices don't make Connecticut unattractive for manufacturing. So I know I keep coming back to those big three of healthcare, housing, and electricity, but I think those are actually really, really key to making sure that we seize the opportunity that comes from things like those contracts that Electric Boat is getting. And I think that's got to be a huge priority for us.
I'd like to draw on for a moment as former Hartford Mayor Luke Bronin, if you could put that hat on for a second. As the former mayor of Hartford, when you hear stories like what we experienced this past year in the capital city, that education and the Hartford public school system is tens of millions of dollars in the hole, and it seems like the last few years there's been a lot of talk about how to fix that, whether it's through cuts, more state funding, etc. Is there a way to help Hartford schools and other schools in your district through federal dollars?
Yes. And first of all, though, I want to say, I think we need to really look at some bigger reforms in Connecticut. Our system of property tax dependence, you know, the fact that property taxes are the only real source of local revenue for cities and towns, it's just not a great system. And I think you see some of those pressures mounting for school districts across the state, not just in Hartford, but many, many towns, many communities across the state. From a federal side, there is very specific things that can be done. You know, I want to see the federal government really provide support for things like special education, which is a massive driver of costs for school districts across our state. And the federal government puts requirements in place, but they don't provide a lot of funding. And that's something that we need to advocate for. And right now, the federal government under Trump is going the opposite direction. I mean, stunningly, they just moved responsibility for special education out of the Department of Education and put it under RFK Jr., which is just, I think should offend every parent of a child, every child in school. So that's one area where we can do a lot more. And beyond that, I want to see a federal government that's just taking seriously the national, what should be the national priority of educating our kids. And that means putting more resources into education and into teacher pay and making it possible for districts to get smaller class sizes and deliver the kind of quality education that every kid everywhere deserves.
What are your thoughts on DSA messaging and agenda? You're seeing it come up in some states. You're seeing it in some races for Congress or Senate. And there's this debate about socialism in the United States of America. Is that the right path to go down? What are your thoughts on some of those races happening nationally and what that could mean for you if you're in Congress? And this is something that is spreading and growing in Washington.
To me, what it means is that the Democratic Party has to recognize that when things feel broken to people, you can't keep doing the same thing. And then when problems feel big, we can't keep offering only small solutions. And I think that that is one of the reasons that I ran this race, was to send a message that we as a Democratic Party have to be more willing to make changes. You know, I'm going to come back to it again. You think about healthcare. The cost of healthcare is out of control, and we're spending so much as a nation on healthcare and getting worse results than so many other developed nations. The answer to that isn't little tweaks around the edges. It's more fundamental reform, and I don't think we as a Democratic Party should be afraid of saying that. Same thing if you think about electricity. I think the answer to our electricity cost crisis is a massive transition to renewable energy. And the technology is there. Renewable energy is now cheaper than fossil fuels, but Trump keeps doubling down on coal, oil, and gas, while China is leading the world in renewable energy. But if we're going to make that transition, we can't be small-minded about it, and we've got to be courageous enough to get out there and make the case to the American people on offense in a big way. So to me, what it gets to the heart of why I thought it was important to run is that if we're going to win the trust of the American people, that we're serious about making change, then we need a Democratic Party that is bolder and more courageous and more clear about the things we're fighting for.
On Face Connecticut this week, and we're about to wrap up, Luke Bronin won just this past week the Democratic primary for Congress in Connecticut's 1st Congressional District. Luke, is there anything else the audience needs to know at this point in time? I'm sure we'll talk again, but anything else that they need to know, or if they're looking to get in touch with you to learn more about these and other issues, What do they need to know?
I really appreciate it, Morgan. I mean, I would ask anybody who wants to learn more to check out my website, which is broninforcongress.com. And there's a lot of information on there. There's a lot of information about my background, but also a lot of stuff about policy on there. And I encourage you to check it out and encourage you to reach out if you have questions. But I really appreciate the chance to come on. I am going to continue to be out there all over the district, having conversations face-to-face with voters. And I hope to have the opportunity after November to begin doing the work of representing this district and being a voice that says, you know, we've got to shake some things up down in Washington, because we know what's happening right now. It just isn't working.
Luke, I appreciate the time. I'm sure we'll talk again this fall.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.